Thank you again, brethren, for your prayers. What would we do without prayer? You know, each comment and just about each prayer had something to do with what I had in mind to talk about tonight. We want to look in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we want to look at 8 open things. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We're going to break in at verse 12. 8 open things. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day into a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. We'll just stop there. Like Brother Malcolm used to say, that's all we purpose reading at this time. We'll refer to some more verses as we go on. 8 open things. First, we read in verse 12 about an open tomb. Peter went in and looked, and he found the tomb was empty. Beloved, I don't have to say this because each and every one here knows that the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out, but praise his name to let us in. And each Lord's Day morning as we come, and we remember his suffering, we remember his death, then our hearts and our minds go out to the tomb, and we realize it is empty. What a privilege each Lord's Day to look in and realize he is not there, but he's alive. And because he lives, we shall live also. Isn't it our only hope? Paul could say, if in this life only we have opened Christ, we would be of all men most miserable. Says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. What a privilege. What a hope to know that when we leave this body, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But as I thought about tombs, my mind went to another tomb, and that's in Luke 11, Lazarus' tomb. And there we see that Christ has power over death. You know the story well. Mary and Martha sent a message to the Lord, said, He whom thou lovest is sick. The Lord gets that message, says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified. And you know the story, like I said, I don't have to go into full detail. The Lord Jesus arrives in Bethany. Martha realizes he's there. She runs, and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. The Lord said, your brother shall rise again. She says, Lord, I know he's going to rise again at the last day. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Says, you believe that? Martha says, yeah, I know he's going to rise in the last day. Says, show me the tomb. Takes him to the tomb. Says, roll away the stone. Says, Lord, you cannot roll away the stone. He's been dead 4 days. He now stinketh. The Lord said, he looked up into heaven. He says, Father, I know that you hear me, but I'm going to say this, that those around might believe and know that you have sent me. And then he said those words, Lazarus, and there we see a double miracle. Lazarus came forth, life came in his body, and Lazarus came forth bound and in foot. How could that happen? Another miracle. A miracle within a miracle. Here we see the supernatural power of Almighty God. He's the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. And he's the one that says, Lazarus, come forth, and he comes forth. He has power over death, hell, and the grave. Then I thought of another tomb. And then this reminds me of the man in Gadara. The Lord has just calmed the sea. He gets off the Sea of Galilee, off the boat, comes into the town of Gadara. And there he meets a man who cannot be tamed, who is cutting himself day and night. He breaks all the shackles. He's naked, cannot be, don't even be clothed. He's insane. And he sees the Lord coming. And he says, torment me not. I know that you are the Son of God. The Lord Jesus commands that those demons come out of him. And then the demons say to him, Lord, let us go into those swine. The Lord gives them leave. They go into the swine, and they're drowned in the sea. And then I thought, I said, why would the Lord let them go into 2,000 swine and let them drown? Is he the reason why the Lord would do that? And maybe, I thought, maybe to let the people know really how many demons that man of Gadara had in him. It says it was 2,000 swine that went down into the sea and drowned. So there'd be at least 2,000 demons in this one person. Can't you see what Satan will do to you when you turn your life over to him? He'll make a wreck of you, won't he? He'll make a wreck of your life. Or may it be that it was possible punishment? Because a Jew should not even have been feeding swine. He should not have had swine. Maybe possible punishment to the Jews. I don't know. I throw those things open. But what gets me? It says, when these people came, and they saw this man, says he was sitting, he was clothed, and in his right mind. That puzzled me. A man who was cutting himself day and night, breaking all chains, nothing can change. I said, what made the difference? Christ. What a difference when a life is turned over to him. Sitting a place of rest. Clothed. Clothed in what? God's righteousness. Right mind. What does the scripture say? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in it. Now he has his mind on the Lord Jesus. What a difference. What a difference Christ can make. But you know, the people asked the Lord to leave, and he granted their request. We have to be careful what we ask for, don't we? The man with the demons asked the Lord to stay. He didn't grant his request. But he says, go. Be a witness. Tell them what great things I have done for you. Secondly, we'd like to look at an open arm. And we go to verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is now toward evening, and the day is far spent. Abide with us. They constrained him. They're so taken up with this stranger. They don't know who he is, but he's told them so much. They want him to come into their own. But I wondered if their own was prepared for him. It must have been. We didn't have any changes they had to make. I throw out a challenge to you and to me. Would I feel comfortable tonight if the Lord Jesus was to come into my home? Would I feel comfortable with the things that I say? It's a challenge to me. Would I feel comfortable with the things that I watch? A challenge to me. Or would I have to say, Lord, just a minute. I have to change that tape. You wouldn't want to see that. Just stay outside one more minute, Lord. But then he's knocking. He wants to come in. I just said, Lord, just one more minute. You're not going to like me the way I'm dressed. I shouldn't be dressed this way. Give me a chance to change. But Lord, just another minute. My friends, they're not going to be the friends that you want to see. Let me just tell them to leave. Or would he be able to come in at any time? Challenge to me. Would things be right in my own? But I'll tell you, my friend, if he let him in, if he let him come in, all the difference he'll make. We'll never be the same if he let him come into our home. Then I thought, what could be better than having him to come into my home? Could anything be better? Yes, I think something could be better. First, have him into our hearts. We know that. But I think something better than having him in our home is us one day being home with him. And beloved, that might be tonight. Before we even leave here, we might be in his presence. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you. We look around us. We see so much happening. I'm looking forward to being home with him. No more sin. No more pain. No more suffering. But to be in his presence. What a day that's going to be when we start to think about it. What a glorious day it's going to be. But then I thought of another home. I thought of the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And go to John chapter 12, first two verses. And there in those first two verses, we see the three great features of a Christian life. We see Martha, she's out serving. Wonderful. We see Lazarus, he's now been raised from the dead. He's sitting at the table. He's fellowshipping. And then we see Mary at his feet, worship. And I think if he reversed it around, I think it's the way the Lord would have it to be. At his feet first, worship. And oh, we can do it at home, but as we come as a collective group every Lord's Day, what a precious time. At his feet. Mary always at his feet. Every time you read over in scripture, at his feet. Then he would have his fellowship with him in his word. And then, after fellowship and in his word, we're ready for the service to go out and meet him. Mary, willing to have him in her home. Then I thought of another home. And I thought of Lydia. She had an open home. And she constrained Paul and Silas as well, the Lord's servants, into her home. I thought of hospitality. Of our homes being open. And I don't have to tell the people here that, because I think most of the people are so hospitable to have the Lord's servants and other people into their homes. And we encourage you, younger ones. Old, some are getting older, not able to do it anymore. The Lord's servants visit. Good to have them in your home. Discuss with them the things of the Lord. Help you to grow and encourage your heart. You encourage them by having you. Let me encourage you and invite the Lord's servants into your home. Then thirdly, opened eyes. Verse 31. It says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. I said to myself, when I read those words, Lord, how well do I know you? How well do I know you? I'm so thankful for the time, Lord, when I realized that I was a sinner and I knew you then, accepted you as my Savior. But Lord, how well do I know you now? Do I know you well enough to recognize your presence? Brother Roddy was talking about that tonight. Do I know him well enough to recognize his presence in prayer? As I come to realize, as I talk with him, let him talk with me. Do I know him well enough as I open the word? Do I know and feel his presence there? Do I recognize his presence as I open the word? I trust so. Do I recognize his power? Yes, his power, the one who could speak the word and the worlds were formed. Do I recognize his power? Yes, to save me, we recognize that. But do we recognize his power, that same God who saved us to supply my need? Something was said about that tonight in prayer or mentioned. So often we said, Lord, I could trust you for salvation. I'd put my whole life upon that. I know you can save me. But you cannot trust me for the material things of this world to meet our needs. Oh, I trust we'll know him in his power. Do we recognize his position? Something was mentioned about that in prayer tonight. He's now been exalted high above all principalities and powers, seated at the Father's right hand. Do we recognize his name, a name which is above all other names? Do we recognize that he's now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and one day and very soon will come and reign that way? Yes, do we recognize his presence? Do we recognize his power, his position, his plan? His plan to return. And what a day that's going to be when he shall give that shout. Those who are dead will rise first, and we which remain will be caught up forever to meet him in there. I trust we recognize that. But then as I thought of opened eyes, my mind went back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. The first time we read of eyes being opened. And it was opened to their sin. Man had sinned and their eyes were opened. And the result of their sin was shame and fear. There we see Adam and Eve sowing fig leaves together, trying to do something to cover themselves. There we see a picture of man's attempt to save himself by good works. My friend, if it's one here tonight who is not saved, it's not by works. It's not by works, but by that precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And as I thought of Eve, you know, of eyes being opened, their eyes were opened. I thought about Eve. What did she see? Eve kept lusting every day after something. She kept looking at that fruit. She saw. Every day, everything she passed, she saw. She kept looking. She kept looking. And then what did that come to? A desire. She then desired to have it. And then she took it. You see the steps down we go. Let's be careful what we look at. Because then it might lead to a desire that is not of God. And then we find ourselves taking part in it. And sad to say, sometimes we take someone else with us, just like Eve. She gave to Adam, taking someone else with us. Let's be careful of what we look at. The thought of open eyes again, my mind went back to 2 Kings chapter 6 and 17. The king of Assyria is going to battle against the king of Israel. And each time he sets his camp up, Elisha tells the king of Israel where the king of Syria is going to be. The king of Syria don't know what's happening. He goes to his servant. He says, which one of you all are for the king of Israel? He says, none, my lord. None, my lord. He says, if you were to say something in your bedchamber, Elisha the prophet, it's he. He would be able to, he would tell the king. The king says, well, where is he? He says, he's in Dothan. He says, let's get him. They surround the city. And when Elisha's servant opens his eyes next morning, they're covered. They're surrounded with the enemy. And he says, alas, master, what shall we do? Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. Says, and the Lord opened his eyes, and he could see all around. He and Elisha were surrounded with chariots of the Lord. The Lord had them surrounded. The enemy could not touch them. You say, what could you get from that? I tell you what I could get from that. God is able to see me through whatever circumstance I'm going through tonight. Whatever it might be, this hurricane just passed us. You say, well, what did God do there for us? I don't know if you thought about it. I said it to Brother Roddy when he called me this afternoon. We got 88 miles an hour as far as my wind gauge registered. Probably 90, 95. But do you know that that storm was blowing 135 miles an hour? God saw fit to let that hurricane come on us with only 85 miles an hour. If it had come at 135, it would have been devastation here again. God is good, isn't he? He's good. And we should praise him continually for it. Then I thought of Matthew 9:29, the two blind men. The Lord has just come from Jairus, healing, raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. And two blind men meet him and said, thou son of David, have mercy on us. The Lord seems to not even listen and goes into the house. They follow him into the house, but he was listening. They follow him into the house. He says, they said, Lord, have mercy on us. The Lord said to them, do you believe that I could open your eyes? They said, Lord, we believe. The Lord then touched their eyes and they were open. You know what I get from that? Man says, seeing is believing. God says, believing is seeing. That's the difference. That's the difference. God wants us just to believe him, beloved. Believing simply because he is God. That's all he wants. Fourthly, we're not going to have time to finish. We'll wind up on this one. Maybe, Lord willing, we might pick it up next Tuesday night. I don't want to keep you long. We thank you for such an effort. I see so many out. I'm surprised. And I appreciate you coming. I don't want to wear you. So we'll wind up with these points on the open scriptures. Let's look at verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, did not our hearts burn within us? And how many times, as we open the word and we get a truth from God's word, it warms our hearts. We just rejoice and we just want to dig in more for something else. Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures? I tell you, many a time I get in there and sometimes it takes a while. I said, I didn't get nothing. And then a thought comes to me. And it just wants to make you go. And I'm sure all everybody else who studied, you want to get in there another 2 or 3 hours to see if you can get something like that again. Open scriptures. Let's keep them open. And you know, I believe as they walked in that road and as the Lord opened the scriptures to them, he says he began at Moses and the prophets. And I believe, I'm sure, that as the Lord got to the prophet Isaiah, I'm sure it opened to Isaiah. Because he says he spoke to them of his suffering. And I believe he read there where the Lord Jesus was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, where he was smitten of men, smitten of God, where he was put in prison, taken from judgment. And I believe that they realized that the first time, what was supposed to happen to their Lord, their eyes, as he opened unto them the scriptures. Open scriptures. Letters never fail to open the scriptures. The Lord Jesus said himself, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. That's why we should search the scriptures. And you know, they were the main subject of the Lord Jesus' coming in the Old Testament. Yet the Pharisees missed it. They missed it. Because they were the scriptures were the ones that testified of him. We looked and go to think of open scriptures. We go to Acts chapter 17, verse 11. It says, and those of Berea searched the scriptures daily. Why? To see whether those things were so. Many a time I've heard a servant of God come for me and say something. And I never realized that was there, and I wasn't sure if that's what it meant. But I went home and searched the scriptures and found out, yes, that's what it really meant. That's what it really said. Search the scriptures to see whether those things were so. Don't ever let us neglect God's word. Oh, beloved, that's put it in first place. The result was many. Many believe. 2 Timothy 2:15 or 3:15 says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Timothy knew them really right from his youth. That's the time to learn. Do we open the scriptures before our children, our grandchildren? I trust we do. I fail many times in this area. To take it and open it and teach them God's word. Losing my voice. I close with this story. It was a poor blind girl in France, and she obtained the scripture of Mark's gospel. And she only could read it through her fingertips. She had read God's word so many times with her fingertips that they got calluses. And she lost the sensitivity of her fingers. So what she did, she cut every one of her fingers to try to regain sensitivity. She wanted to read God's word so bad. But that only made it worse. So one night she took God's word up to her lips. She says, farewell, farewell, sweet word of God. And by doing that, she realized that she could read God's word from her lips. She had better sensitivity in her lips than she did her fingers. She stayed up all night reading God's word and rejoicing that she had found a new way to learn more from his word. I fell on my face. I said, oh God, give me that desire. Give me that desire to want to get into your word like this blind girl who could not see, but longing to know more about you. Oh, may, brothers and sisters, may we have that desire. Because that's the only way we can know anything about it. It's through this book. That's the only way. This book. I trust that each and every one of us will be willing to open this book and to let him show from us our wrongs, our mistakes, and that we'll learn from them and correct them, that we'd seek to do his will. Oh, that we'd have that desire to know more of him. Shall we pray? Father, as we tried in some feeble way to open your word, we realize that of ourselves, we could do nothing. Father, we realize we're so incapable, we feel so incapable of even saying anything. But we trust tonight that anything has been of thyself that you would use it. We realize that there's many needs represented in here tonight. Different needs. We realize that your word can meet each and every need. So we trust, Lord, that your word tonight will meet the need of everyone here. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. You know, I know after this hurricane, everyone said so much to do. And I really appreciate you coming. I hope that you've been blessed, not from anything I've said, but maybe something from God's word. I trust so. Good night and God bless you.